Hello, darlings, and welcome to Undivided. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Coming up on the show today, how often do we hear politicians talk about gun violence? How often do we hear politicians in Washington State put forth laws to restrict the rights of law-abiding gun owners? Well, at the same time, prosecutors in our state and in certain counties, you know which one, are handing out plea deals to criminals who actually commit crimes with firearms. Seems a little hypocritical, doesn't it? I agree. We're going to discuss. Also coming up, Trump foes absolutely giddy at the prospect of his fourth indictment. We'll talk about that in our national news segment. Also, remember we discussed the Lewis County Senior Center that said, absolutely, no prayer, no politics is going to happen here. Well, those seniors are fighting back. A Lewis County commissioner is going to join us to discuss efforts they're trying to take to allow seniors to do whatever the heck they want to do, within reason, of course. All right, all of that and more coming up. But first, if you have not become an Undivided subscriber already, please do so. It's just $5 a month, undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com. You can sign up right there. Super easy to do. Okay, let's start in Lewis County, shall we? Because I think this story is so indicative of what we try to do with the podcast. I mean, one, actually, you know, let me back up. Every so often, I think Nicole's giggling at me. She can tell a rant is coming on. Every so often, I feel the need to remind people what our show is about. I had a certain family member text me the other day who's like, remember, Brandi, the show is called Love This Family Member to Death. Remember, Brandi, your show's called Undivided. You know, try to be undivided. So every so often, I get something like that. We're like, wow, you're really angry today considering your show is called Undivided. Undivided does not mean that we sit around and we're all kumbaya and we think everyone disagrees and our differences aren't that big. We should just put them aside. We should all get along and just, you know, come together. I, in a perfect world, of course, I would love for that to happen. But I tried that approach already. It was a show called The Divide. It was on Fox 13 and it didn't work. Why did that approach not work of just saying, oh, let's just all get along? It's because you cannot find common ground if there isn't common sense. There is no civility without sanity. And so Undivided is an aggressive rejection of fringe ideologies, and it is a rejection of false narratives that are intended to divide us. Intended to divide us on the basis of race, on the basis of gender ideology, on the basis of political party socioeconomic status. We see too much of that, where there is narratives from the media, narratives from ideologues that are intended to divide us where no such divisions exist. And so we will push back against those things with every fiber of our being, because that's what's dividing us. Sure, we disagree as Americans fundamentally on a few things. There are a few things where you have factions of this country that are very, very far apart. But on the vast majority of things, these are divisions that are created out of nothing. Out of nothing. And you see that division, the false division, trickle down into every aspect of our society, including senior centers. In Lewis County, Washington, there is a group of senior centers that are run by one single entity, and it's just day centers so people can show up. They can, I don't know, play, what do seniors do these days? Play cribbage with their friends? Mm-hmm. Talk about politics, right? They might talk about religion. They might talk about sports. They're getting together with people their age over lunch, over dinner. They're having social settings, which is very important for people of their age. And they talk about whatever the heck they want to talk about because they've lived that long and they have earned the right to do that. Well, apparently in Lewis County, not so much. We talked about on the show, I think it was last week, about how a particular senior center, the woman who runs it said, there will be no more talk of politics or religion on my watch. And she said that that new rule stemmed from senior citizens pushing back against having to celebrate an entire month of Pride, against the senior center, you know, bringing in things and saying, oh, this entire month is going to be Pride Month. And these are people who grew up in a different generation. And they're like, hey, you know, I don't know if I want to celebrate Pride Month for an entire month. And she's like, oh, because they pushed back, you can't talk about politics and you can't pray out loud. Crazy stuff. So the update today to that story is that there has been a little bit of a softening of that position. The woman behind it, Carol Brock, is her name. She is the Lewis County Seniors President. She is, I guess apologizing. I don't know if I'd call it. It's one of those apology, non-apologies.
Right.
Is that fair,
exactly.
Nicole? So the new headline from the Chronicle and the update, Lewis County Seniors President expands on plan to roll back no prayer rule. Commissioner seeks to oust her from advisory group. So she said in this article to the Chronicle, I apologize. My recent article in the Senior Dynamics was an attempt to address a very serious problem we are experiencing at a few of our locations. Unfortunately, I was unable to explain the issues involved or the board's solution to these issues adequately, which is sort of weird because she wrote like this 1,000-word article about the new rules. You weren't able to explain it adequately in that 1,000-word article, but you found room to vilify seniors who don't want to celebrate Pride Month for an entire month. So kind of weird. But she goes on to say that basically, the federal dollars that they get, I think it's from like the, is it called the Aging or Older Americans Act? It comes with certain rules when you're providing meals to seniors, essentially. And she said, since we receive federal dollars to support our nutrition program, the board's decision to support a moment of silence during congregate meals is necessary to maintain funding because essentially the money that comes with the Older Americans Act, it does have some elements that restrict religion tied to it, right? Because you have the separation of church and state, but there's nothing in it that explicitly prohibits people from being able to pray, you know, when they have a meal out loud. But what she's saying is, oh, we can't do that. It has to be a moment of silence. So anyway, she's sort of trying to, I think she's trying to keep her job because some senior citizens have started to push back. I mean, they had a protest, which I thought was just awesome. But anyway, as we mentioned there, so there are three Lewis County commissioners. Now, the Lewis County commissioners don't control this particular, what is a private nonprofit entity that runs these senior centers, but one of the commissioners does sit on the board. And then the other commissioners, you know, they are in charge of some county money that goes to these facilities, and also the facilities are owned by the county. So one of those commissioners, his name is Scott Brummer. He is not happy with the particular rules that were handed down to senior citizens in his fine county, and he joined us to talk about it. Commissioner Brummer, welcome to Undivided.
Thank you for having me, Brandy. Appreciate it.
Quite the saga you guys have down there. Before we get into kind of updates and how this has developed, when you first heard about this policy, how did it strike you, sir?
Well, you know what? I'm a big believer in freedom. I'm a senior pastor myself, and so I pastor a church in the local area, and I think it's paramount that, we have faith and faith-based as a part of people's freedom to, be strong, especially our seniors. And so it struck me as just trying to take away those freedoms and liberties, and especially from our older generation that's precious to us.
Yeah, I think when I had heard of it, I'm like, man, these people are in their 70s, 80s, 90s, and they can't sit around at the table and pray with their friends or talk to their friends about politics. I was like, poor people, they've lived through so much.
Right. Well, and I do know that, they had concerns. The senior board had concerns about individuals or maybe small groups that were maybe a proselytizing a little bit, being a disruption in some of the senior centers. And so their knee-jerk reaction is to go and produce a set of rules that ultimately takes away their ability to exercise that freedom of speech. And so very unfortunate.
Yeah, for you, as we talk about, there's been a little bit of a rollback, and it seems in this sort of rule that was set forth. But for you, what do you think is the balance? Because, you know, you do want these to be a place where everyone can come and feel welcome. They don't feel like they're being preached to or yelled at over politics or whatever it is. But you also have the First Amendment and their right to be able to sit around and talk with their friends. So to you, what is an appropriate balance to allow that kind of activity without it maybe feeling like it's being shoved in their face?
I think it comes down to, if you have an individual that's being a disruption and doing that, then you deal with that individual. It doesn't have to spread out to everybody. I think it's just, it's vital that, our seniors have, this is their social lifeline. This is a place they come for a good meal. This is a place they come to enjoy each other's company. And so they should have the freedom to sit down and talk about politics, talk about daily the events of the day and what's going on in the world around them. You know, culture is changing dramatically. And our seniors, I think, are oftentimes we don't realize, how difficult that is for them. They grew up in a completely different era. And so they need to be able to talk those things through and have those conversations. And so
Yeah, and one of those things is Pride Month, and Carol Brock, the Lewis County Seniors president, had mentioned this in her, you know, write-up that she did about these new rules, where she says that the sort of beginning of this was because some people were complaining about having to celebrate Pride Month for an entire month. Are you aware of what happened there? Are they celebrating, you know, a month of Pride at these senior centers?
Yeah, and that was, you know, from their perspective, from Ms. Brock specifically, you know, she was pushing that. They had brought in some flags and were pushing the Pride Month. We as a county, we do not recognize any of those kind of activities. Has nothing to do with being in support or not in support of those. We just don't do it. To be inclusive for everyone, we just don't feel it's appropriate to single out any group for recognition. And so Carol has decided to push that and do that. And she definitely got some pushback from the seniors, and rightfully so. You know, I think one of my issues is that, you know, diversity and inclusion means just that, that it's for everyone, regardless of what your faith is, regardless of what your, where your stance is on those kind of culture and social issues. You should be able to express that. And if you don't like and don't want to see that happen, we shouldn't be pushing it on people to, you know, you must, you know, believe this way and celebrate this because, you know, it's important to us. And that's ultimately what Carol did, I think, in this instance.
Yeah, and it almost seems counter to the rules that she put down, like no prayer, no politics. You know, we don't want you putting things in other people's, like forcing them to participate in those things when there are some people who might have been forced to participate or felt like that in Pride Month celebrations. So there have been some calls for Carol Brock to be removed from her position. Do you join in those calls?
So we don't have direct authority over the senior board. They set their own executive board and their own board members. I believe the seniors are the ones that should have the ultimate control over who they elect and put in those positions of leadership. I certainly think that Carol has done a disservice to the seniors. And I think she's done a disservice to our community. And I very much would like to see someone else step up as the president and bring a new, fresh start to our senior program. And so I absolutely would like to see that happen.
Yeah, and she's softened her position a little bit on the rules that she initially set forth. Has that gone far enough for you?
You know, I don't think so. I can certainly accept, you know, someone when I see an apology or I see a genuine, you know, I made a misstep, and she has made some of those statements, but she's further kind of doubled down on the, you know, it's only a moment of silence. You know, that's what they're advocating for. And it's fine if you don't want to have corporate prayer. I mean, if we're not going to, I'm fully fine with not sending but somebody to the microphone and saying, you know, a prayer for everybody to follow. But you know what? If I sit down at my table, I definitely have the freedom to say a prayer, say it out loud, or maybe my group, maybe my table, able to do that without being in violation of these rules. So that to me seems ridiculous and something that I still want to encourage our seniors board to make a change and reverse the course.
Yeah. And while you said, you know, the county commissioners don't have direct control over what happens in this instance, there is not only, you know, federal funds, but also county funds that go to the seniors, not only this senior center, but other senior centers in the county. Is there any talk about restricting those funds if those changes aren't made?
Well, so from my perspective, the county does own the buildings. We lease all of the senior centers. There's six of them that they occupy. They're leased for a dollar a year type of thing. Those are owned by the people. Those are our public facilities that then we lease out to the senior center, as well as the finances that is just a small part of their budget, but it's still taxpayers' dollars. And of course, those federal funds that go to them as well. And I am a believer in diversity and inclusion. I don't believe there should be discrimination for any reason whatsoever. And so in being in line with that, that's why I believe that we need to make a change to these rules. and allow for folks to have that freedom to speak and pray and do as they choose in the senior centers. And so, you know, that's really what I'm hopeful for. But, you know, I don't want to say that we're meeting with them. We've asked the board to come in. We've asked the senior board to come in and have a conversation with all three of the county commissioners to talk about these issues. And I'm hopeful that we can get where we need to be and come to some conclusion, you know, so that things don't continue to escalate.
Yeah, and that would be a much better way to do it than taking funds away, because that only hurts the seniors at the end of the day. But Lewis County Commissioner Scott Brummer, anything, let's end with this. What do you think the Lewis County has learned? Is there any like positive thing that can be taken away from this?
I think that just that our community, we're in Western Washington, and you know, we're on the west side, but I believe that we're kind of an island of conservatism and freedom. And I think we just take away that really is the core values of our community, that we value freedom. We value the rights to liberty and to express your faith. And that's where we're going to fight to maintain in Lewis County, in our community, not only with our seniors, but all across the board. And so, I think it just shows us strong that we're able to, you know, address this kind of issue when it comes up, and come away stronger and better, knowing that this is a great place. It's the best place, in my opinion, in Western Washington to live, and we love it.
All right. I think that's a good place to end. Commissioner, thank you so much for coming on, and please do keep us updated on what happens.
Thank you so much, Brandy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so the saga of the seniors is not over, and you bet we're going to follow up on this one. But look, do I want the lady to lose her job? I don't really have a strong opinion on that. I'm not impacted by it directly. I think that's up to the senior citizens who visit the center. It's up to the individuals who provide funds to the center, and et cetera. However, I will say, I think it's worth pointing out kind of how the apology, non-apology from this woman, Carol Brock, it also is a complete 180 from the rationale that she gave when she initially put down the rules about no discussion of politics, no prayer. Remember, when she wrote this article in what basically I think is like a bulletin for senior citizens, she said that this began because she had heard pushback from senior citizens who go to the center that they were not happy with having to participate or be exposed to an entire month of pride. And she said that we're going to do that. Other countries do that, feel fit to do that. We're going to do that too. And so basically like just shut up and deal with it. And there were some senior citizens who were like, no. And again, I don't think that's a particularly controversial opinion. I support the LGBT community. I participate in pride events. I think it's a little weird that we have a whole month dedicated to it that has been very commercialized. And remember, these are people from an entirely different generation. So they're not able to push back against, you know, pride flags and et cetera, being in these community centers. And because you're mad about them pushing back against that, you're going to say, oh, you can't talk politics or prayer. Well, what are you doing by observing an entire month of pride? So keep in mind, when she came out after the pushback, she's now saying that she says, Brock, in a statement sent to the Chronicle on Friday, said the policy was responding to complaints from staff and seniors over attendees leading, quote, audible and clearly denominational prayers from the podium with a microphone prior to our congregate meals. That's not the reason she gave for the rules in the first place. But now, as a way to try to slip out of this, she's saying, well, it actually has to do with prayer, and that could impact our federal funding. That's not what she said. She's only saying that after pushback. So I think it's important to keep that in mind. And I will just note, whether you find this relevant or not, Carol Brock happens to be the chair of the Lewis County Democrats. I learned that today.
Shocking.
She's...
what a thought.
I think that this is someone, and I haven't met her, and we've invited her on the show.
Yeah.
Would love to hear from her if she'd like to come on the show, would like to hear about her rationale. You know, I tend to agree with certain elements of making sure that people don't feel compelled to participate in prayer if it's not their denomination or they're not religious, etc. But when this is clearly someone who's highly ideological when it comes to LGBTQ plus issues in Pride Month. She was probably personally offended because of her ideology and her political affiliation that seniors would dare to question whether pride flags, etc., should be displayed in these facilities. So she came down And basically, she's in a conservative area, put a policy in place so she didn't have to hear differing political opinions. So she didn't have to hear, oh, prayer. That's exactly what happened here. I mean, I'm pretty confident of a complete guess, but I think when you put all the pieces together, and now when she's caught, when she's getting pushback because she realized this is deeply unpopular, she's like, well, we're trying to maintain our federal funding. Mm-hmm. Okay, lady. But you're welcome to come on the show. I'm sure she'll take us up on that.
Yeah, point out an institution that like banned prayer and to keep their funding.
Yeah, a little ridiculous. And I actually put in the live chat, if you're watching on YouTube, my poll question today is, should audible prayer be allowed at public senior centers that receive public funds? I tend to think that personal prayer, like amongst a group, you know, where you're like, everybody's at this table and we're all religious and we're going to pray before a meal, perfectly fine. Now, I don't necessarily think it would be a good idea to lead an entire room full of people who are trying to have lunch or dinner in an audible prayer from a podium. I actually would be like, well, that's kind of weird, because I mean, I would choose not to participate. I always bow my head anyway, even though I'm not religious. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be respectful here, because I'm not going to throw a hissy fit.
Just in case, you might as well score a point.
Well, not even that. I think people are, I don't have, it doesn't trigger me for people to exercise their religion around me.
Exactly.
I think that's the key thing, is like, I'm not angered by that. Now, if you're like forcing or guilting me into participating, then I'm going to have an issue with that.
Which I think is the whole Joe Kennedy thing, right? With the football and the kids feeling the need to participate or whatever it was.
Right.
But yeah, that's I feel like it's very much the same. Like, if you want to go out and, you know, gather in a circle or in the circle of the cafeteria, then go.
By all means, that's not bothering me.
No.
Why are people so triggered by the actions of other adults that don't impact them?
Well, I think they've been told that they need to be triggered by things like that, that it shouldn't be happening. I think that's one of the issues in schools right now. Our kids are told that, you know, you deserve this, you own this, you know, you have these rights, you have these privileges, whatever, and they're not given the right information around that. Like, yes, you have the freedom of speech, like those are rights that you know you should value and take to heart, but like some of this other stuff they're being taught, I really see it coming from the schools.
Yeah, and it's like on transgender issues, for instance. I've said how many times, if you're transgender, I don't care. Do your thing, live your life. Yes. You have 80, maybe if you're lucky, 90 or 100 years on this planet, and if that makes you happy, by all means, who am I to tell you not to do it? The only time I've taken issue with transgender issues is when they intersect with someone else's freedoms and pursuit of happiness, like women trying to compete in athletics, etc. People in a bathroom who might not feel comfortable changing around someone who has a body part that isn't assigned with the bath, things like that. That's the only thing that bothers me. So it's just lady. So anyway, Carol Brock, please come on the show. We'll talk about it. Happy to talk about it. Would love to. Okay, coming up next, we hear over and over, I mean, this is the drum beat of the Democratic Party in Washington State, gun control, gun control, gun control. We care about gun violence, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, Bob Ferguson, who's running for governor, that's what he's going to base his entire campaign on, I'm sure of it. But at the same time, we have prosecutors who are offering up sweetheart plea deals to actual criminals who commit crimes with guns. We have lawmakers in this state who are proposing laws to take it easy on people who commit crimes with guns. And I gotta say, it all doesn't add up very much. So we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, we've been discussing our friend Wes Jones, wonderful real estate agent in our area. And I'll tell you, if you're even contemplating at the precipice of deciding whether to sell your home, you've got to check out sellwithwes.com. Not only can you use their home value calculator to see how much your home might be worth, but you can also learn about their listing boost concierge service.
So we're going to come in, number one, and we're going to inspect a home, do a pre-inspection, and we're going to find out all those little hidden bugs that, you know, a buyer may be concerned with. And if a seller wants to do some cosmetic updates, you know, whether it's flooring, whether it's lighting, countertops, even a kitchen, we're going to help guide them through that. So the Listing Boost Concierge Service, what we can do is we can project manage those rehab projects. We have a list of contractors and preferred vendors that we like to work with and have a ton of experience with, and we'll take that off a seller's hands. We'll go ahead and run that project for them, and we even have some options where they can pay at closing out of their net proceeds.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. I was actually talking to a friend about this the other day. They have to sell an elderly family member's home who's going to move into like a long-term care facility and the home hasn't been updated in quite a long time. I'm like, man, you should give our friend Wes Jones a call because that takes a lot of stress out of the home selling process. So sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Go peruse it if you're thinking about selling your home. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay, we have said that we're going to be on a week-long crusade leading up to a possible court hearing on Friday to try to get justice for Wendy Traynor. So Wendy Traynor was murdered in cold blood by her estranged boyfriend in Milton in 2017. And this is a guy, you know, if you're not familiar by now with the ins and outs of the case, we'll revisit it every day, but they had been dating. You know, Joshua Ellis moved all the way across the country to Kentucky. Wendy Traynor ended up moving with him and then tried to come back on multiple occasions to Washington State to get away from him. And every time, like, he'd kind of suck her back in. She eventually got back and moved into this apartment in Milton. And he followed her there and he ended up shooting and killing her in the apartment, left her for dead, would come up with some bogus self-defense claim, which was absolutely ridiculous. And a judge in his first trial said it was, and leaves her body there for a week for her dad and her uncle to find. I mean, just horrifying stuff. So we've been following this story because his first conviction was overturned due to a technicality. And rather than pursue a second trial, Pierce County prosecutors are floating him this sweetheart plea deal. It is so egregious. Under the terms of the plea deal, he could be out by 2025. Which is insane. And so Wendy's family has been speaking out. We've been speaking out on the show about why are you doing this for the sake of convenience, expediency? It's not justice. And it's just indicative of a justice system gone awry. But there's another element to this case that we want to dig into today. And that is the fact that, as I said, you have politicians who are always talking about, oh, gun control, you know, gun violence. Yet you have countless examples of actual criminals who have actually committed violent crimes with a firearm. And then they're given sweetheart deals, their firearms enhancements just disappear, and that seems to be the case for Joshua Ellis. So we got our hands on, thanks to the family, the deal that's being considered. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but first I want to compare it to his original conviction. In his original conviction, I just want to draw your attention to a couple things. So he ends up getting convicted of murder in the second degree, but he also was given a firearms enhancement of 60 months. So you've got the initial, you know, the murder in the second degree, which is serious enough, but then they tack on an additional 60 months because he used a firearm in the commission of a felony. He used his 10 millimeter to shoot his ex-girlfriend in the back of the head. So they tack on this firearms enhancement, which is wholly appropriate. And as part of that sentencing, he was required to register as a felony firearm offender. And so that's going to follow him for the rest of his life. So now I want you to compare that to the offer and sentencing that is currently being floated. And again, this is still in the works, but this is the document that the family was given. So not only for the murder in the second degree, are they offering to basically cut his original sentence in half, which is insane to me. It's truly insane to me. The standard range is 123 to 220 months, and they're recommending the low end of the standard range, 123 months for shooting your ex-girlfriend in the back of the head. So under this deal, he does not have to register as a felony firearm offender, and there is no mention of a firearms enhancement. So that 60 months that was tagged on, appropriately so, in the original sentence for committing a felony with a firearm disappears. Disappears. And then he doesn't have to register as a felony firearm offender. In a state where they, every single year, politicians in Olympia are coming up with new ways to regulate law-abiding gun owners. Every year. In a state where we hear whenever there's a violent crime, the immediate thing that politicians jump to is we've got to do something about gun violence. We've got to get guns out of the hands of criminals. Here you have a guy who an abundance of evidence shows stalked his estranged girlfriend across the country, shot her in the back of the head, left her to die for her family to find. And that is the person who we're just going to say, oh, well, you know, you used a gun to commit a crime, but no big deal. When law-abiding gun owners who've never committed a crime with a gun in their lives are being restricted. You tell me how that makes sense. You tell me how that fits with the values, the prevailing values of the politicians in this state. And that's why whenever the issue of gun control comes up, I mean, I'm opposed to, I would say, the vast majority of gun control measures in our state for constitutional reasons. At the same time, I'm not a gun person. I don't own a gun. It's just not a particular thing of mine. But I value the right that the Second Amendment gives us. And I don't think that you should erode people's Second Amendment rights. If you want to change it, I've said before, get a constitutional amendment on the books. But what I would say is I would be more willing to entertain conversations about gun control if those same politicians were screaming from the rooftops to hold gun offenders accountable, if judges and prosecutors in this state were using the full weight of our criminal justice system against people who actually commit crimes with firearms, if that was 100% buttoned up, they were using every available power federally, from state law, federal law, to hold gun offenders accountable, and then they're like, hey, we still have an issue. A lot of people are getting shot in our country and in our state and in our cities. What else are we going to do? I would entertain that conversation, as long as it wasn't unconstitutional. But I think there are things you can do. But the problem is they're focused on that because it's politically exciting. It gets them the headlines. Bob Ferguson, you know, oh, we banned semi-automatic assault weapons. Now I'm going to run for governor. But it's not as exciting to say, hey, here you got a guy, happens to be black, and that's probably why, you know, they're saying, well, let's float him a deal. They're saying, well, it's not as sexy to talk about putting someone in prison for a long time because they had a gun who happens to be African-American, because then we're talking about a criminal justice system that's disproportionate outcome, whatever it is. It's ridiculous. Either you care about guns being used to commit crimes, either you care about making sure that fewer people are killed with firearms, or you don't. And this, to me, is hypocrisy at its absolute worst. So all of that, besides the fact that Wendy Traynor deserves better than that. By the way, I should note, coming up on the show tomorrow, Ann Bremner is a Seattle-based attorney who has agreed to work for free with the family to raise awareness for this case. She's going to be joining us on the show. And then on Thursday, we're going to be joined by former Pierce County prosecutor Mark Lindquist, who was the county's elected prosecutor when Wendy Traynor was killed. He's going to join us to talk about their original charging decisions in this case and the case ultimately falling apart after the first conviction at trial. So we will, as we promised, we will beat the drum on this till the end of the week. We expect there to be a hearing on Friday. We're hoping that the Pierce County Prosecutor's Office changes course. I would encourage you to share this story. We have posts on all our social media pages. Share it with anyone who will listen. All right, let us get to our segment, Unbelievable. Businesses on the West Coast, I feel for them, man. They put up with so much crap, it is unreal. And perhaps none more so than Nordstrom's. So we are, you know, proud that Nordstrom's is a Northwest company. They have their flagship in downtown Seattle. I was just there a few days ago. I thought, why don't I stop by Nordstrom's? I was downtown getting a wedding dress fitting, and I was like, I'm going to scoot on over and see how things are going there. And of course, you're always greeted by the private security, which has become normal at just about every establishment in downtown Seattle. But I'm not sure if you guys saw this. There was this massive looting at a Nordstrom's outside of Los Angeles. I think they said like $100,000 worth of merchandise. It was like a flash mob of looters, all dressed in black. Of course, they're going after the high-end purses and the high-end merchandise. And the people there are the employees are helpless. If I'm an employee, you're not going to try to stop them. They're just going in, I mean, armfuls of bags, armfuls of merchandise. Truly, I mean, it's really sickening to watch. And I just think about myself as like, I'm not rich. And like, I go to Nordstrom's, I buy my stuff. And the people who are law-abiding citizens, we talked about this yesterday, were taxed to death. And then like, do you think these people will get caught? Do you think these people will be punished? Probably not. But this is just, I think, the latest story in a long line of incidents involving Nordstrom, which just makes me wonder how much of this can a company like Nordstrom's take, or how much are they willing to take? So I don't know if you guys saw, there was a security guard. I just mentioned Nordstrom's. I was telling Nicole, I said, it's sad that it's anyone, but I'm like, oh, there's one that's so nice every time I go into Nordstrom's down there. But this is from Como News, security guard attacked during attempted robbery at Nordstrom's flagship downtown Seattle store. Absolutely ridiculous. They say a security guard at Nordstrom's flagship store was attacked while on the job Sunday morning. Seattle police say the assailant was able to get inside the business during an attempted robbery, and the suspect got away before officers arrived. But again, you know, you have, I mean, the police presence is low down there because they have no police officers. I mean, we're 600 officers short. And so you have all these businesses that have now had to bear the cost of hiring private security. Private security officers aren't police officers. They don't have the power that police officers have. And so it's really sad that here we've got, and there was, Nicole, you mentioned at a different Nordstrom's locally, there was a security guard who was assaulted.
It was at the Nordstrom Rack in Alderwood. This cute old man was there all the time when I went there. And I believe he was attacked on his way as he tried to stop somebody. He got injured. I think he got pushed down or whatever it was. And now he's no longer there. They don't have security when you walk in anymore.
Right. So. And what's the recourse? Because you're like, okay, you know, we have security guards, but they can only do so much. And then they're getting assaulted. And so it's like, do we just allow people to steal and hope that there's some sort of repercussions? What is left to do? And this isn't the only sort of thing that has plagued Nordstrom's in recent years. I mean, I remember very vividly. Mm-hmm. In 2020, during the Summer of Love, you'll remember the massive riot that was before CHOP in the downtown area, where my security guard had to, you know, recover stolen AR rifles that were taken out of police cruisers that were lit on fire directly in front of Nordstrom's. And Nordstrom's, you know, if you're watching, you can see in the photo, had to already spend thousands of dollars to board up their windows in advance of the protest because they know what these rioters do. Sorry, I said protest when I meant rioters. They know what these rioters do for years. For years. I mean, it was really bad during that particular riot. I remember the footage of the whole Nordstrom storefront and other businesses had just been tagged and graffitied and broken windows, and people went out, good Samaritans who realized that's absolutely insane, went out and tried to clean it up the next day. But for years and years and years, you know, the May Day riots, Occupy riots, that Nordstrom's has been tagged, it's been broken into. I mean, during this riot in 2020, people looted Nordstrom's as they did many other businesses in downtown Seattle. And I think what's so egregious about that, beyond, you know, the fact that, hey, this is a business that's trying to contribute to the vitality of the city and you're harming it for what, that elected leaders didn't say jack. You know, you had the mayor at the time, Jenny Durkin, who came out after the fact, and the police chief, Carmen Best, but the city council almost condoned it. Almost condoned it in the name of racial justice. And it was insane to me at the time, the level of violence and vandalism, stealing police rifles. And you've got city council members who are like, oh, it's for racial justice. It's insane. And you have to wonder, you know, when we talk about the ability of these downtowns to thrive, how long before Nordstrom's closes its flagship? How long do you really think? How much do they have to put up with before they just say, look, we're a business. We can't do this anymore. It's not profitable. It's not safe. And I would point to, I think it was San Francisco. We heard about this back in May. Nordstrom said it was going to close its downtown San Francisco store. Not only their Nordstrom's, but their Nordstrom's Rack. And by the way, that is still happening. It's going to close at the end of the month. And that is not shocking because it wasn't safe there. When you have an environment that's so unsafe on a daily basis that people don't want to actually come in and shop at your store, when you have an environment where you can't stop people from coming in there and looting or coming in there and stealing to fund a drug habit, you aren't required as a business to put up with that. You aren't required to. There's nothing in city charter that says Nordstrom's has to stay where it's at. And yet I really don't see cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle reaching out in good faith to these businesses, you know, offering their apologies that the environment is so toxic to run a business in and trying to work with them hand in hand to see what can we do. We see what's happening. We're so sorry. We see what's happening with drug addicts stealing from your businesses, big and small. We see what's happening with far-left fringe rioters breaking in your windows and tagging up your storefronts. You know, we see what's happening. We want to help. We value what you bring to the city, to our economy. What can we do for you? I don't think that's happening. If it were happening, I don't think that you would have this level of absolute bull that these businesses have to deal with along the West Coast. It's really, really remarkable. It's unbelievable, frankly. So I would like to see cities step up more, because Seattle really ought to consider what that downtown area is going to look like without Nordstrom's and Nordstrom's Rack. They're two of the only businesses that continue to operate down there. And if they pull, I will tell you, it will be even more of a train wreck than it is now. And we cannot allow it to get to that point. But I would be shocked if Nordstrom's wasn't considering it. All right. Coming up next, Nicole put this in the show sheet, is we can talk about the Trump indictment if we must. If we must, well, we must, and we will coming up next. But first, I've been talking about our friends over at First Mark Insurance because you can save money. Here I am. You know, if you support the show for $5 a month, you can get that money back. Just take the First Mark Challenge. FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com. Mike and I took the First Mark Challenge in the spring, and then we became members of the First Mark family. It's really easy. It's totally free. You just schedule a little time with them. You can do it virtually. You talk about your current insurance, your insurance needs, and then they go out. Again, costs nothing for you. It's like an insurance concierge. They go out, they shop the market, and they come back and say, hey, here's what we think would work best for you and your family and your needs and your pocketbook. Here's Dave Taylor. He's the CEO of First Mark.
We believe and we say that we will help 100% of the people that we work with. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that 100% of the people we work with are going to become First Mark clients, but we believe that we will actually help 100% of the people, whether that be stay with your current carrier, but let's modify your coverage a bit so you're better protected, or ultimately, hopefully, come over to First Mark. We're going to put you with a different company and give you better coverage, right? So the challenge is really challenging individuals to give us an opportunity to prove that to them. That's really what the First Mark challenge is.
Yeah, and there, you really have nothing to lose. And especially if you've got a tight budget right now, you are paying more for gas, you've got the long-term care tax that's coming out of your paychecks, this is a really good way to save money and not have to downgrade your insurance. I mean, you can get, we spoke to a woman who has better insurance, better service, better coverage, and she's saving $100 a month, which is $1,200 a year, and it costs nothing for her to be able to do that. So check out FirstMarkInsurance.com, FirstMarkInsurance.com, and take the First Mark Challenge. All right, Nicole, you'll be fine. You'll live. Donald Trump, late last night, a fourth indictment came down. This one related to his alleged efforts to interfere in Georgia's election results. The article from the Associated Press, Trump and 18 allies charged in Georgia election meddling as former president faces fourth criminal case. So before we talk about the serious nature of, you know, what's happening in the country politically, we couldn't help but notice that Trump's naysayers were, they could not contain their excitement over it, including the district attorney who actually filed the charges. Why don't we start the video? Because at the beginning, she's not speaking. Hold on, go ahead and start the video. But you can tell she's like, don't smile. Don't smile. Don't look happy. Don't look giddy. And then she announced what the charges entail.
Thank you for joining us. Today, based on information developed by that investigation, a Fulton County grand jury returned a true bill of indictment, charging 19 individuals with violations of Georgia law arising from a criminal conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election in this state. Subsequent to the indictment, as is the normal process in Georgia law, the grand jury issued arrest warrants for those who are charged. I am giving the defendants the opportunity to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, the 25th day of August, 2023.
I am giving them the opportunity. Very generous of you. And again, I'll be serious about it, but I have to play this. So MSNBC had a guest on that, how do I describe this choice of a guest? Opportunistic? why don't you just watch?
Fancy meeting you.
Oh, I can't believe this. Yeah, this is not the circumstances in which I expected to be talking to you.
Nor me, Rachel. It's always good to talk to you, but honestly, I didn't think that it would be under these circumstances.
Oh,
yet another set of indictments.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Can you play it again? Her smile at the beginning.
Maybe.
Fancy meeting you.
Oh,
here.
I can't
nice
believe this.
Yeah, this is not the circumstances in which I expected to be talking to you.
Oh my God! Nor of course, me. MSNBC would have Hillary Clinton on, who has no relevance associated with the case other than she lost to Donald Trump in his first election
and repeatedly said that it was stolen from her.
So anyway, like, look, I've said nobody's above the law. And so for all these cases, I'm not the kind of person who's like, oh, at their core, they're just false cases or whatever. I think Donald Trump did a lot of things. Nicole's rolling her eyeballs at me that he should not have done. I don't want him to be elected. Oh. But at the same time, yeah. It's like, for the love.
And of course, it's now. I mean, this happened 2 years ago, and now is when they're bringing all these. And then they want it a speedy trial right during primary. Yep. Like, give me a break.
Well, I do think, though, you have to have a serious conversation about, okay, can you really be a candidate for president with this going on? Whether you think it's fair or not, whether you think it's good for the country or not, mm-hmm. can you, with, I think it was like 91, when you combine all the indictments, like individual charges, and he does face the prospect of prison time.
But you're innocent.
So if they, do you think he's innocent?
You're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Well, I know that.
But you can't say that because otherwise that would be the tactic of every party that wants to get
rid
of a different candidate.
But
like, we'll just bring charges because then they can't run.
Right. He can run. I mean, he can obviously run. Right. There's no law stating that he can't continue his campaign.
Right.
But at this stage, what happens if we are, 7 months away from mm-hmm. the GOP nominating process? Am I off on that? Something like that.
Something like that.
That's not a long time. And so if he's literally in trial, this is obviously the front runner. Donald Trump, every single poll has him way out ahead. Yep. Ron DeSantis is flailing, probably even more so after the fourth indictment. So what do you do if you've put all your eggs in the Trump basket, mm-hmm. and then whether you think it's fair or not, he goes to jail?
Oh, I think that's the... Well, that's what we're calling out, right? That's
right.
Why we're like, let's move on. And all you can do is plead with people to move on.
Right.
But if they don't do it,
they're not going to.
I mean, it's gonna be detrimental to the party.
Well, it's going to be detrimental to the country. But it's like, mm-hmm. Jesus, what do you even do? But I will say it is an eye roll, every indictment. And then you get this breathless reporting from MSNBC. Again, the journalist in me struggles with it because it's like, I get it. That's a big deal to have a former president indicted this many times on this many charges and facing jail time. And he's a current candidate. I get it. That has to be covered. I'm not saying don't cover it or don't take it seriously. But as Nicole pointed out here, you've got Hillary Clinton, who herself, claimed that the election basically was stolen from her. And now she gets to be on MSNBC giggling with Rachel Maddow. So if you're going to say, Rachel Maddow, that this is a serious situation mm-hmm. for the country and what Trump did was very serious for the country, then treat it with the seriousness that it deserves. Treat it as a serious issue. But when you bring on Hillary Clinton, who is smiling and giggling, it totally, to me, undercuts the drumbeat preaching of Trump being so dangerous and detrimental mm-hmm. to our country and these charges being very serious. If it's very serious, stop giggling. Right? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I agree.
All right.
Out of control.
We are going to, by the way, play another clip related to all of this saga in our closing sanity check, although this one comes a little from the way back machine a little bit. Before we get to questions and comments from the show today, I have been talking about the fantastic results that I've had on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan. I started in November. This time last year, I was at my highest weight ever, and my friends didn't say anything to me because you're very nice.
Because we're true friends.
No, terrible friends. And then I was like, wow, I'm seeing some pictures that I don't particularly like. And then it really hit me. And then in 2 months, I'd lost already almost 30 pounds in 2 months. Then a few pounds after that. And I was like, wow, I wish I had done that sooner. So don't wait forever like I did. Don't wait until you see pictures of yourself and you're like, that doesn't even look like me. Schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan and his team at the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, or you can call their office, 425-354-3020. Okay, questions, comments from the stream. I had to laugh at this one. Casey said, oh my God, don't whisper into the microphone. I just had a Biden flashback. Whisper. Sometimes I think it's better to get your point across in a whisper.
Oh, so does Biden.
So does Biden. And then he yells. Okay. Richard says, my first time on Time for Undivided after being an early subscriber. Oh, Richard, good. I'm glad you've found our live show at noon on time. Love it. Nadine said, I heard Kamala's around. Yeah, she's in town for a fundraiser today that she did not cancel. Our understanding is, even though what's happening in Maui, I think, makes it seem a little odd to be doing a fundraiser. Although I did get called out on Twitter by... We talked about Biden yesterday and how his comment, after going to the beach, he was asked about the incredibly sad death toll that's been mounting with the wildfires in Maui. And he goes, no comment. I'm like, what? But people were saying, well, Trump also was terrible at responding to natural disasters, which I agree. You know, he had the whole like, oh, I'm going to throw paper towels at the people who lost everything and make a game out of it. And, you know, his comments about wildfires in Puerto Rico, et cetera. So, no, Trump wasn't a master at responding to natural disasters either.
No comment.
But I don't recall a time, although I know when you disagree on Trump, you're like, I don't know when you turn into a Trump lover, Trump defender. However,
occasionally defender.
Sometimes I think it would have been better for Trump to say no comment than the things that he said.
I'll give you that.
Sometimes I actually think it would have been better if he said no comment than saying some of the things that he said. So the bottom line is, can we just start over with
not a Trump
presidential
lover,
candidate?
Please.
Sorry, you're right. You're right. I was acting triggered.
I just see what the media and all of the haters have done. Yeah. And I just think it's blown up into something much bigger than it should be.
Well, yeah.
I don't think he's an angel. I don't think he's not done anything wrong. I just think that all presidents have done things wrong.
I don't think that's fair either. I don't think to that extent.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't think
to
you can say
extent,
all
yes,
presidents
there,
have
there just
done...
There was no such...
All presidents have done something on an equal... He's the only president who's ever been indicted.
Not all, but some, I said.
Some, yeah. Yes. Some presidents. Not every president has been perfect. But anyway, I don't intend to be Trump-bashing central. I don't want any of them to run. We just need a clean slate. Then we can talk about other freaking things.
Right.
Deanne said, I hope we get real truth and real answers today. Where are the bangs? What do you mean, where are the bangs? They're right here. What do you mean, where are the bangs?
No, I'm going to have to agree. I said that yesterday. I said, you were like so excited about the bangs. And then you swept them to the side. And
because the first day I had them, you're like, they're hitting your eyelashes.
Well, yes, that was.
So they're not. Listen, the bangs aren't intended to be bangs.
Well, I think you're just still feeling them out.
No, I'm not feeling them out.
Deciding whether they go. So last time you split them in half or not in half.
Yeah, which looked weird. I looked like a 70s like pothead. So yeah, bangs take some getting used to.
Yeah,
but look, I didn't do the bangs for the now. I did the bangs for the later. I want to have a little down at my wedding.
Yep.
And because I got a big forehead, so I cut some bangs. And yeah, I got to sweep them to the side because you guys want to see my eyeballs, right? But they're still here. Here they are.
Yeah.
Here they are. Anyway, okay. That's where the bangs are. Alicia said, I like the side swoop bang, Brandy. Thank you, Alicia. At least somebody gets me for the love. On the senior story in Lewis County, H says, my father-in-law is in a senior living facility. I witnessed a church service in a separate room. It was so heartwarming to hear them sing hymns. I agree. And let's see how my poll ended up. I said, should audible prayer be allowed at public senior centers? 80% said yes, 7% said no, 14% said they're okay with personal prayer, but no group prayer, which is where I fall. On that issue, once again, I am not in agreement with the majority of people who answered that poll. Kathy Carr says, my mom was part of a senior center, and a lot of seniors had no one else in their lives besides the ones at the center. And again, that's why you're going to restrict what they can talk to their friends about, people their age, like when they go there and they're social. It's so strange to me. And I also really liked what the county commissioner told us, which is common sense. I asked, well, what do you think should be done? You deal with the people who take things too far. If you've got someone who's being mean or hateful or bullying, you know, in their 80s, then you deal with that person. If it's really bad, you tell them they can't come back. You don't tell everyone, okay, no politics or prayer for anyone else. You deal with the people who are doing it. That's common sense. That's how an adult would handle a situation. So just strange that common sense absolutely escapes individuals. Rick said, a moment of silence and a month of pride. Give me a break. What part of freedom do you people not understand? That's a really good point. Rick for the win. You can have your little moment of silence as long as you don't say anything about it. Pride. Oh my gosh, people are unhinged. Okay, I got to get serious because we have some comments on the Wendy Traynor case. Megan says, please share the prosecutor and judge's contact info so people can contact them and put the pressure on them to stop the plea deal. I wonder if it would be productive to contact the judge or if that would seem like harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally appropriate to contact the prosecutor's office. The judge didn't do this. The judge, I think, could reject a plea deal. Mm-hmm. They typically tend not to do that if it's a deal that's agreed upon. I mean, that's something that usually judges won't say no.
Right. And to be clear, this is the third scheduling of this hearing. So that the last judge recused himself. The judge before that delayed it. So the judges change so often. Yeah. I'm not sure. And yeah, they have. I don't know. I think that the more attention, I think, yeah, reaching out to the prosecutor for sure, because they're the ones that made the deal.
Yeah, right. The Pierce County elected prosecutor, just reach out to their office and share your thoughts on this, but also share the story. You know, we have videos up across our social media on this. Just make sure people that don't know about it know about it, and people don't forget about Wendy Traynor, and they can raise awareness to it. I do think it makes a difference. Devlin says, because it's citizen disarmament, not gun control. Agree. H says, I wish Brandy would write a letter to the prosecutors and the judge, and we would all be able to sign it. I probably won't do that, like, to a judge again, because I don't want to, like, be perceived as harassing somebody, right, like, who's an independent elected official, if that makes sense, in an ongoing criminal proceeding. However, it's important to have attention toward the case, and I think sharing the story on your social media pages, sending a personal email to the prosecutor's office would be completely appropriate, especially if you live in Pierce County. Mm-hmm. Especially if that is your prosecutor. You as a citizen, they work for you. And they are tasked with keeping the public safe. They are tasked with a critical part of the criminal justice system. So it's completely appropriate, particularly for Pierce County residents, to reach out. Let me see. On Nordstrom's. Is it Nordstrom's or Nordstrom?
No, it's Nordstrom.
It's not Nordstrom's?
You kept putting an S at the end, and I kept thinking,
wow,
I got to correct her later.
This is a whole new world. I always said Nordstrom's.
You're thinking is Macy's.
It Nordstrom's Rack, though?
No.
It's just Nordstrom Rack?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'm sure it does belong to the Nordstrom's, but
yeah, it's Nordstrom's
they've
Rack.
Chosen okay. to only label it singular.
Wow, I learn something new every day. All right, Matthew says, I used to shop at Nordstrom. Matthew put an S on it, too. Matthew said, I used to shop at Nordstrom's downtown. Now I only go to Bellevue. Less shopping downtown means less tax revenue. And that's what politicians in the city just do not understand. Like, how do you think you pay for all the pet projects? How do you think you pay for all the DEI initiatives? How do you think you pay the bloated salaries of people who are supposed to fix homelessness but don't do a dang thing to do it? You do it because people shop downtown and it's tax revenue. So get it together. Lieutenant Dan says, massive theft raids seem only tolerated in large urban areas. Doubt it would be as tolerated in a small town. Maybe they should
write
try
a song
that.
About it. Maybe I don't know if that was intentional.
Try that in a small town.
Lieutenant Dan, yes. But well done.
That's funny. You guys are funny today. Trump on his fourth indictment, Sharon says, ladies, you are missing the point of all these indictments. Suppress, suppress, suppress the turnout. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Republicans have done more to suppress their own turnout than these indictments ever will. I truly do. I think the whole, like, stolen elections narrative and people, like, blatantly telling Republican voters, like, hey, your vote, they're messing with your ballots or whatever it is, I think that's done more to suppress the voter turnout for Republicans than this has ever
done.
Oh,
I think it has done that, but I don't think that's the intentional part. What she's saying, it's the intention maybe to suppress in this way, but you're right. That's making...
But I think it's done the opposite, right? I think, if anything, it's made people more excited to vote for Donald Trump. Supporters yes. of the former president and even people who are on the fence, I think it has made them more excited
that's what it's
to
done.
Support them.
But right. then, at the same time, maybe that works for them, too, because it's a very small chunk of yeah. the Republican Party that gets like that, but then it takes it away from all of, or it takes those votes away from the more, yeah. you know, likable candidates.
I think all
right
of this, it's about blind hatred. I don't think it's more like coordinated
that's what
than
I
that.
Really think it
I
is.
Think it's blind hatred, but also it serves as a convenient distraction away from all the day-to-day, everyday life things that Democrats are doing that yep. hurt us, and like public safety, like overtaxation and overregulation. And I think it's very convenient to have had now I have to do math, 7-year scapegoat in Donald Trump. And this is actually what I said when I was on mainstream news and I had my show, The Divide. I said at the time when Trump left office that Democrats just lost their favorite scapegoat.
Oh, yeah.
Who are they going to, who is Bob Ferguson going to have press conferences and blame things on? I mean, they would blame
Trump.
Who would
have thought it was still Trump?
They blame Trump at the end of the day for, like, CHOP, didn't they? Or like something. They found ways to blame him for everything.
They are still blaming
him. And they still blame him. So he is the most convenient, best, reliable scapegoat Democrats have ever had. And if he's not there, who do they get to blame all these issues on? And also, Trump's personality allows for them to dismiss things he did that were good for the country, like for the economy. Mm-hmm. And God forbid you have another Republican who could do all of those things and not have that, you know, weight around him of all these indictments. So yeah, I think there's, Trump has been very good for Democrats, and any Democrat who says otherwise is an absolute liar. All right, John says, Trump's not going to jail. The media as a whole should be put in jail. Not everyone in the media. Come on, some of them. No, I'm just kidding. Look, the First Amendment allows me the right to share my opinions as unpopular as they may be in certain circles. And the First Amendment allows MSNBC the right to have Hillary Clinton on, laughing her face off at this. I mean, there is a lot of protection for journalists. There's protection for journalists who get things wrong. Now, they can be sued civilly, like we saw. What was the, I know we're going over time today. Sorry, I'm super chatty today. Who is the kid who the media got the story wrong on? What's his name?
Yeah,
somebody's going to tell me on the live chat quickly.
It's gonna come to me.
Nick Sandman.
Sandman.
Who, and I'll even be honest, when I saw that video, I had sent out a tweet saying, like, who's this punk little kid?
You did.
I've admitted that before, though. That's the difference between me and the network media. I was like, oh, I was wrong. Because it was out of context, and, like, these Native Americans were harassing him, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nick Sandman, for not suing me, because I was apologetic, and I did admit my mistakes, and I it was an honest mistake. But they got sued, and the payouts were huge. Mm-hmm. So that's really the only recourse when it comes to the media. I don't agree with, like, I don't want members of the media put in prison. Like, this is the United States of America, although I'm not sure if you're...
Just called out. Called out.
We call them out.
Yes, we do.
Yes. But I don't know if John was being serious, like, put the media in jail. But Lolly says, Lolly, are you a first-time commenter? I've never read one to comment from Lolly because I would have remembered the name. Kind of like Dolly, but Lolly. I like it a lot. Drama divert attention from Biden and Hunter. I think that's part of it, too. I mean, I think that the Trump cases are relevant. I think that Biden and Hunter, I mean, I just keep going back to if there's a few things I go back to. When it comes to Republicans, if it was like BLM Antifa that did the exact same thing at the nation's capital that Trump supporters do, Republicans would have lost their mind and they'd still be talking about it as well. And so I think you have to be morally consistent. But when it comes to Hunter Biden, if you had Don Trump Jr. snorting cocaine or naked in bed with hookers, pictures, you think that the network news would cover that the same way that they're now covering Hunter Biden? Those pictures would have never stopped airing on MSNBC and CNN. So let's be, you know, it's this lack of moral consistency, which actually is a perfect segue into our closing sanity check for today. Sprung that one on you, didn't I, Nicole?
A little bit.
I went from reading comments to let's get to our sanity check. But there is a video that's circulating, I would say, mostly in conservative medias. It's been posted by a few friends of mine as well. When it comes to this whole narrative around, you know, stolen elections and Donald Trump, you know, saying that the election was stolen from him and, you know, the effort to make sure that it wasn't certified, etc. Well, I'll play this clip, and it actually includes Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of Washington State, and this is during the certification process. So at the time, you had Vice President Joe Biden, who was acting as the president of the Senate, and that is exactly what Mike Pence did when this happened in 2020. So this is in 2016, and you have Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal of our state who wants to stop the certification of the results in Georgia.
What purpose does the gentlewoman rise?
Mr. President, I object to the certificate from the state of Georgia on the grounds that the electoral votes
There's no debate. Section 15 and 17 of Title III of the United States Code require that any objection be presented in writing, signed by both a member of the House of Representatives and a senator. Is the objection in writing and not only signed by the member, but by a United States senator?
Mr. President, even as people waited hours in Georgia...
There's no debate. And if there's not signed by a senator, the objection cannot be entertained.
Mr. President, the objection is signed by a member of the House, but not yet by a member of the Senate. Well,
it is over.
So first of all, good for Joe Biden. He's like, no, lady, like we're certifying this and Republicans are applauding him. So I do applaud Joe Biden for absolutely rejecting efforts to stop the certification of the results in Georgia simply because Congresswoman Pramila Jayapal did not like that Donald Trump won. And, you know, the reason I bring that up today is there's a lot of conservatives pushing out clips like that. And we mentioned earlier, you know, Hillary Clinton and the claims of a stolen election. And I do agree that it is absurd. It is unforgivable that the media didn't treat those claims with seriousness either. You know, the media like ignored that. And then when it happened, when Republicans did it, they're like, oh my gosh, you're trying to interrupt democracy. And so I'm okay with giving clips like that the light of day. I think that's appropriate. I think that it shows that we as a society are prioritizing affiliation over actions. When we've said this a million times, you set your moral compass, you stay the course, whether it's a Democrat who does it, a Republican who does it, it's not acceptable if you've deemed that that kind of behavior is not acceptable to you. But I don't believe in sharing clips like that as a way to excuse what Trump is going through, as a way to excuse what happened in 2020, because that's just doing what Democrats did, just flipped. And so I think, again, it's an important reminder to say, okay, am I okay with the act of questioning an election when, you know, the person of my party loses or the person of my party wins? And I think that as long as more Americans can act with consistency and clarity, and more politicians rather with consistency and clarity, and the media can cover things fairly, I don't think that we'd be in such a mess of a situation. So I'm okay with revisiting clips of a congressman from Ulijayapal from the 2016 election trying to stop the certification of election results in Georgia, as long as you're not using it as an excuse to deflect from what's happening to former President Donald Trump right now. That has been your sanity check for today, and that has been overtime episode of Undivided 6 minutes. That's not so bad. I was chatty today, although I was also talking very fast today. I'm just trying to fit a lot in. As a reminder, coming up on the show tomorrow and on Thursday, we're going to continue this crusade to make sure that this sweetheart plea deal does not go through in the case of Wendy Traynor. Seattle attorney Ann Bremner is going to join us on the show tomorrow. She is speaking on behalf of the family and trying to get them justice. And then on Thursday, former Pierce County prosecutor Mark Lindquist, who was the elected prosecutor at the time Wendy Traynor was killed, is going to join us. We look forward to seeing you on the live show tomorrow and Thursday. If you've not become a subscriber already, please help support our show in this mission to give common sense a comeback. We can't do it without you. UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. It just costs $5 a month. We'll see you back here tomorrow at noon.